Good morning. I know Jordan's already mentioned, but I just want to say how great was last night for those that were here, and a massive, like, well done to all those that are involved. It was amazing. And I loved listening to some of the throwbacks, singing to the throwbacks, taking me back to when I was younger. And there was something that I used to do when I was younger. We used to sing a lot of different songs in our house. There was always a lot of worship on, especially gospel music. And I used to have this one song, which was called El Shaddai, but I used to always get the words wrong. So I remember times, and I'd often sing this song when I was in the back of the car. So my dad would be driving, my mum would be in the passenger seat, and usually my sister would be in the car, and I'd be singing this song. I'd be giving my everything singing this song, but I wouldn't be singing El Shaddai. I'd be singing Why Should I? So I would sing this out. I would, with all the passion, Why Should I? And it, a few times, people in the car, whether it was my mum and that, would say, the words aren't Why Should I? They are El Shaddai. And so it took me a while to get used to the right words of that. I did, as soon as I did find out, I used to then make it into a bit of a joke, and I would sing, Why Should I Tidy My Room? Why Should I? And I'd go through all the things that my mum and dad would tell me to do, and I would go, Why Should I? And that would be our trips from church on the way home. Now, one of my children has inherited this of getting the songs to worship songs wrong. And there's a new song at the minute, and one of the lines is, I won't waste another minute in my old ways. So I won't waste another minute in my old ways. Well, same kind of thing. We're on our way back from church one Sunday, and one of our children is in the back of the car, but instead of singing that, they are singing, I won't waste another minute in my hallways. The song goes on, and there's another line that says, I've been living in the light of a new day, and my child sings, I've been living in the light of a mirror way. So she's inherited from me getting the words wrong to songs, but she sings it so sweetly and so passionately. My child sings it with such a sweetness to her voice. One of my favorite songs when I was younger was I Love You, Lord. And the lyrics go, I love you, Lord, and I lift up my voice to worship you. I'm not going to sing it because no one wants that this morning. I'll leave that to Helena. I love you, Lord, and I lift up my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Does anyone remember that song if you've been? Yes. And I remember as a little girl, this song for me always felt a little bit like a prayer. It felt like a prayer that I wanted my worship to be pleasing to God. I wanted it to be a sweet, sweet sound. And my title of the message today is A Sweet, Sweet Sound. And I'm going to be going through some different scriptures, but the first one that I just want to bring our attention to is Romans 12, verse 1. And it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. I want to take us further this morning. I know last night we sang a lot of songs, and this morning we've sang songs. And that is really powerful in our worship. But I want to take us further this morning in not just it being about the songs we sing, but the life we live. That actually our life would give off a song that is a sweet, sweet sound. That our whole bodies, our whole life would be that true and proper worship to God. There's a newer song that I've heard, and the words go to it, that's kind of going back to that old hymn, and it says, I am an instrument of the living God, my life a melody to his name. More than the songs I sing, worship is everything. I live to glorify my King. Hear the song of my life. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Hear the song of my life. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. I don't know about you, but something I would love is that my life would be that sweet, sweet sound. And even in the preparation of this message, I've been asking myself that question, is my life a sweet, sweet sound to God's ears? I want to pose the question this morning of, are our lives giving off a sweet, sweet sound? And for us to think once again on how do we do this? How do we live a life where our lives are a sweet, sweet sound? And I want to take us to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 3. A lot of you may have heard this before, but I want to read it for us this morning. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and I give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. What we see here in the Corinthian church is that they had plenty of spiritual gifts, particularly speaking in tongues. But what Paul is saying, that doesn't matter without love. That actually love is really important. And without love, it can be just an awkward sound. It can be that clanging cymbal. It's not a sweet, sweet sound. It's actually a sound that can be piercing to the ear. The Corinthian church missed the purpose of the gifts and were making it about themselves. And for us, we can do lots of things, and they can all be great things. They can be incredible things, but actually without love, they are nothing. They don't bring that sweet, sweet sound. It can be an awkward sound. And when you look through scripture and you look at the Israelites, one of the most important scriptures that you see that would have been something that they prayed was Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 5. And it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. For them, what was at the core of what they believed and the way they lived is that first they wanted to hear God. Secondly, that God is one, believing in the Trinity. And then looking at that of loving God with their everything. Loving God with all their heart, all their soul, and with all their strength. It was so important to everything they did. They prayed it regularly. And we know how important this is because when Jesus was asked what the most important commandment is, we see in Matthew that Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He then goes on to say, this is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Our lives will give off that sweet, sweet sound when we love God and we love others. When we truly love God with our everything, and then we love others as ourselves, as we would ourselves. This morning, the message might seem simple, and if some of you have been in church for a very long time, you might be saying, yeah, we know this, Natalie. We know that we are called to love God and love others. You may be thinking, oh, this isn't for me. This is for someone else. But in my life, I've been very aware that actually it sounds quite simple, but actually living it out is something that we have to be really intentional about. There are things that can affect our love for God and for others. And I just want to draw our attention on this of maybe three things that can stop us from living that life of worship to God, that sweet, sweet sound, because of things that can affect us when it comes to loving God and loving others. And the first is drift, that we can drift. We just recently have had to buy a new car because we were in our old car and it started smoking at the front, and to fix it cost more than what the car was worth. So we got a new car, which is exciting. But this new car has a new feature that our old car doesn't have. And it's when you're driving in the lanes that if you go over the lane, it will beep. Does anyone else have that in their car? Yeah, well, this is new to me. And as I'm driving, especially on one road, I've got used to it now, but I was like, "What? Why is it beeping?" And I'm looking around and things. And then I figured out it's when you like drift a little bit over the lane. That beeping is there to indicate that you've drifted over the line. It can be so easy when we are talking about our love for God and love for others that there are certain things in life that can make us just kind of drift. And if we're not aware of it, and we don't have maybe them indicators in life, them beeps, before we know it, we could be really off track. We could be on the wrong road. It makes me think a little bit of Mary and Martha in the Bible. Mary, when you read the accounts of it, Mary, she, with her mouth, she declares that Jesus is Lord. She says, Lord, to him. Talking about, moaning about her sister that is just sat at Jesus' feet while she is doing lots of things. But the thing that really catches me, that when she comes to Jesus, she addresses him as Lord. She proclaimed by her lips that Jesus was Lord, but she was distracted by many things. Jesus said, you are distracted by many things. But Mary had chosen what was right, because Mary's posture was that Jesus was Lord. But actually, maybe Martha was proclaiming it with her mouth, but actually her posture wasn't showing it. And maybe at times we just need that little bit of indicator in our life, that beep, that actually we may be proclaiming with our words that we love God and we love others. But actually, the posture of our lives looks very different. And if we are going to give off that sound, that sweet, sweet sound of worship to God, maybe we need to this morning just ask ourselves that question, have I drifted? Do I need to get back in the right lane when it comes to loving God and loving others? My second point is to define what love is. My brother-in-law, he is a songwriter, he's written worship songs. He's not done any for a while, but when I was in youth, he was part of the Audacious band, and we used to go to a lot of Audacious conferences, and we would end up singing some of the songs that my brother-in-law had written. And he wrote this one song called Relentless, and talking about being relentless for God. Well, I was in the back of a car one day with my brother-in-law and my sister, and there's a bit of an age gap between me and my siblings, so I was quite a bit younger. And I was saying to him, I was trying to be really encouraging, I was like, I really love the new song, Joel, like the Relentless song is really, really good. But every time I'm worshiping to it, I don't quite get it. Like, why wouldn't we want to give our all to Jesus? Like, why wouldn't we? And he just kept, I could see we were driving and he was looking really confused. And I was like, I don't get it. I don't get why you'd write a song about that. And what happened is, and this is going to make me look really silly now, but hey, I had like taken I was singing in my head like Reluctant. I'd got the words mixed up of Relentless and Reluctant. So instead of singing I'm Relentless, in my head I'm like, I'm Reluctant, like singing it. And it only was when we'd worked out that I'd got the word wrong that Joel had to define to me what the song was about, and then the song had a whole different meaning for me. That actually there are times when we need to understand the definition of love. That we can't take the world's definition of love, but we actually need to be led by what God says love is and what the Bible says love is. At the start, I read Romans 12, verse 1, and the Message version writes it like this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. And then here, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That line there, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. I wonder so many times, and I'm saying this to myself as well, it can be so easy, can't it, that we're led by culture's definition of love and what the world says love is, and not actually by what God and his word says love is. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 6 says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. For me, this is a real challenge because I'm like, I want to love like that, but it's not always easy. The love here, there are different words in the Greek for love, and the word here is agape love. And one definition that I really love that I've read on what agape love is, it says, to seek the well-being of others regardless of their response. To seek the well-being of others regardless of their response. That actually we would have a love that puts others first. A love that isn't about ourselves, but is about God and those around us. God's love is agape love. The way that he laid down his life for us, the way that Jesus laid down his life for us. God is love. And I know Jordan mentioned it, but we only have to look at what's going on in the world today to see that actually we're missing that kind of love, maybe. That actually that love where we would put others first, that love that isn't selfish. The world needs God's love. The world needs to see God's love. And for us to do that and to give off that sweet, sweet sound, our love can't be defined by the world, but our love has to be defined by God and His word. But as I said, sometimes it feels really hard. It feels really hard. How can we have a love like that? Especially in a culture where it can be all about me, me, me. How do we love in this way? How do we show that agape love? And my third point is that can stop us in loving in that way and giving off that sweet, sweet sound is that we don't accept that we are loved. That we don't accept that we are loved. Another confession from me is that I am really, really bad at receiving gifts. It makes me feel awkward. Like compliments, anything, gifts like that, I feel a little bit awkward. I think I've inherited it from my mum. Like I give a gift to my mum and she's already trying to work out how she can outgive something to me. And I feel really awkward in receiving gifts. But actually, I've had to learn in my life that God's love is so precious. And actually, to receive that love. And looking at each one of you in here, my prayer for you today is that actually, you may have heard about God's love before. But actually, this morning, there would be that fresh revelation of just how much God loves you. That God truly loves you. That for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus, the good shepherd, laying his life down for the sheep. You are loved. Jesus loves you. And actually, we will struggle to love God and love others if we don't accept in our lives that gift of love. If we don't accept just how much Jesus loves us, loves each and every one of you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your story. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. It doesn't matter what you are going through right now. Jesus loves you. He loves your children. He loves your family. He loves you. 1 John 3, verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. 1 John 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. We can love God and we can love others because Jesus first loved us. Because we are loved. And I really feel that even in this season that we are in, like that we see across the world of so much pain, so much hurting, and sometimes it can feel like there's so much fear. But actually, perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love drives out fear. And when in the world it can seem like there's this noise that is piercing to the ear and it's noisy and it's awkward and it doesn't sound good and it can be the temptation for us to retreat. But actually, maybe what God is asking is that our whole lives would be one of worship to him, would give off a sweet, sweet sound. And that would come from being in a place where we know we are loved. We know we are safe in God's hands, that we belong to him. And that from that place, we would truly love God. We would love God with our everything. And we would be able to show that agape love that we receive from God. We can show that to others, that love that doesn't put ourselves first, but that love that puts others first. That our children across the road, that actually they would know that they are loved and they would be able to go into their worlds and show love to others. That there would be a generation that rises up, a generation that rises up that knows what love is and is able to show love to others. So is this morning maybe just that little bit of a beep, as I said on the car, where maybe there's been a bit of a drift and we need to get back in lane? Maybe we've been allowing what love is to be defined by the world, and this morning we need to be reminded of what God and His Word says love is. And maybe this morning you've been feeling like you're not loved, that no one cares about you. But actually this morning you need to be reminded of your Savior who laid down His life for you and truly loves you. So I wonder if you're able, if you could stand with me. And this morning, we are going to take communion, because communion is the perfect way to remember what Jesus has done for us. The love He poured out for us when He died on the cross. And Jesus said at the Last Supper, in the Lord's Supper, to do this in remembrance of me. As we come to take communion this morning, let's remember the price Jesus paid for us, and that we are loved, and that from that place our lives would give off a sweet, sweet sound of loving God and loving others. Another way that some people may want to respond this morning is that as we do that, you could come down to the front if you've never accepted Jesus's love in your life, if you've never declared that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Come forward down at the front, and we would love to pray with you. Maybe even for some, it might be that you feel like you've drifted a little bit, and this morning you want to say, God, I want to get back on track. So yeah, there, the response is this morning that you can come and take communion and remember Jesus's love for us. But actually for some that have never experienced that love before, or heard about it, you can come forward and we'll pray for you. But as we go into communion and time of worship, I would just love to pray for us. Dear Jesus, we come before you right now, Lord God. And Jesus, we thank you that you humbly came and gave your life up for us out of love for us. The pain and the suffering. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, even right now in this place, that there would be a real revelation for people of that love. That we would know we belong to you and we are loved. And nothing can separate us from that love. And I pray, Lord God, that the cry of our hearts would be, Lord God, that we don't just want to sing songs and we just don't want to go through the motions, but actually we want our lives to be a sweet, sweet sound to you, Jesus. We want to love you, God, with our everything, surrendering our all to you. And we want to love others. A love that is pure. A love that isn't about us. But a love that shows people who you are, Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the dead. That you've had the victory, Lord God. The victory is yours, Lord God. And we stand in that hope of knowing you are coming back again. And we pray across our world that we would see your kingdom come and your will be done. In the precious, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, so as we come now, there are tables around the room if you want to come and take communion, and the worship team will lead us in some worship. And also, if you do want to come and have prayer, come down at the front and somebody will pray with you.